You're listening to a 95BFM podcast. Now it's time for our weekly chat with Labour MP Andrew Little.
Yes, so that was Green MP Golriz Garaman talking about prisoner voting. I also spoke with Andrew Little, Justice Minister, about prisoner voting rights. But before that, we had a chat about Facebook and fake news. Here is Andrew. Are you worried about Facebook's ability to spread misinformation?
Well, I think there's a worldwide concern about that, and we saw how it was used in the United States in 2016. There's suggestions that it was been used or was used during the time of the French election last year and the British election. So this is an issue there. There's real questions, of course, how what the actual impact is. There's been research about the real impact in the US in 2016. In any event, look, it's a device there now that could be used in that sort of way. So we have to be alert to it, which is why we and many other governments around the world talk to Facebook and put them on the spot about what it is that they are doing to manage the abuse of their platform in just these sorts of circumstances.
Is Facebook talking to the New Zealand government?
Yeah, we do. It's been they engage at various sorts of levels. They have a presence here, obviously, beyond just the fact that you get onto them online. They have people here. So we do. I, apart from an incidental meeting while they happened to be at a select committee early this year, I haven't had any formal engagement with them in the last year or so. But they are around. They know that we are concerned about this. We have our select committee doing their usual inquiry into the last general election, and I've specifically asked that committee to look at issues of interference and influence, including through platforms like Facebook. So look, they are engaged in that.
And there's currently a UK-led inquiry into fake news, which you've said you're watching with interest. Do you think that Facebook is taking this seriously, given they won't front Mark Zuckerberg in front of the committee?
Yeah, I know there's sort of issues about that. I know they've released quite a few documents. I know Mark Zuckerberg has fronted up to Congress. I think he did have one appearance before at the House of Commons. And I think it is an issue when, you know, the most senior people in organisations like Facebook don't front up. I know I was at a meeting earlier this year with Australian, Canadian and American counterparts. Actually, Facebook and Twitter and others have been invited to be part of that meeting, but declined to send anybody. And we found that hugely disappointing because actually we need to be engaging with them about, you know, what it is they are doing to see off any kind of potential threat that they might present to functioning democracies, to functioning government.
And the privacy regulations that have come in recently, Facebook's been a bit slippery around this. I mean, what sort of powers does the government have to ensure they are doing the most to kind of combat fake news and also adhere to the regulations of the country?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's the big challenge. It's been exposed by the Cambridge Analytica kind of issue as well, and the extent to which Cambridge Analytica was able to harvest an incredible amount of data from Facebook. And that's, I think, where the international pressure is going on Facebook, about, look, what are you doing to protect this huge amount of personal data that is available from, or that at least is collected by Facebook and could be used. And that's where I think, state governments around the world are grappling with. I mean, the difficulty is, of course, the problem with online platforms like this is that they are borderless and they are stateless. And so state regulation isn't necessarily going to be the most effective way to deal with it. It is going to require concerted, collaborative effort between nation states to deal with it. And I think that's where a lot of the dialogue between countries is going at the moment.
And moving on, the Green Party has called for prisoners to be allowed to vote. What's your response to this?
Yeah, I mean, look, each political party is carves out its own territory and makes its own priorities. So I acknowledge that. I think the reality for government is we've made some pretty extensive commitments and are now deep in the work of a lot of criminal justice reform, including for prisoners, you know, making sure that those who wind up in prison are getting the proper mental health care they need, the addiction services, the therapeutic care that has been largely absent from the system for many, many years, as well as making sure that even before people get to prison, while they're in the early stages of the criminal justice system, that actually we're doing effective stuff there to prevent people getting to prison in the first place. The constitutional issue about prisoner voting rights, of course it's important, but the path that we've embarked on with the limited kind of resources that we've got at the moment, that's not the number one priority. And I have no shame at all in saying my priority is to fix the system as much as I can before we get on to those constitutional rights.
Are you worried this is causing a bit of a rift in the government?
No, I think, look, the relationships are very strong. As I say, part of being a coalition government made up of three different parties is you have to respect the right of other parties to, you know, lay out their shingle and set out their kind of turf and stake out their area. That's just the nature of politics. But the reality is the government itself is very strong. We're able to talk about these things in a sensible, mature sort of way. And I think everybody understands that when you are in government, government is ultimately about priorities. It'd be nice to be able to do everything all at once and as much as you can in a short space of time, but that's just not possible. You do have to set priorities and then do things as and when you can.
Is it not a priority because you're worried New Zealand First won't be in favour of a law change?
Well, I mean, the reality is there hasn't been any discussion at government level of the Supreme Court decision, given that that's the final word on the declaration that has been issued on the issue of the 2010 legislation on prisoner voting rights, which simply just haven't had a discussion. Mm. But actually what we have done, we have agreed on a pathway of criminal justice reform. Everybody is focused on that. That is the priority work for justice and other government agencies. The government, as the government, you know, as ministers, are expecting reports, proposals, and so on in the early part of next year. I've got to get that program of work, keeping that moving, so that we can get decisions on that. The issue of prisoner voting rights, we will get to at some point. Actually, the priority for me, myself, and the Attorney General, David Parker, is given that the courts, you know, have now established for themselves this right to issue declarations, which we accept, is to actually not just confirm that in legislation, but to require Parliament to respond when a court issues a declaration of inconsistency with the Bill of Rights. That, to me, is the priority issue. It's a systemic issue. Let's get that sorted, and then we can come to the specific issue of prisoner voting rights at some later stage. But given the program that we've set up and the time that we've kind of bid for in terms of parliamentary time to get legislation passed, that simply wouldn't be happening anytime soon.
So you've not spoken to New Zealand First at all about the issue?
To be honest, no. No, I haven't.
That was Labour MP Andrew Little. The Wire. That was a 95BFM podcast. To hear more, head to 95BFM.com/bcasts.